Still have Easter on my mind, and all last week we talked about Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and or what we would call his triumphant entry, and we went through some of the trials, the crucifixion. But man, he arose. And I was in children's church last week, so I'm not sure what was covered on Easter Sunday, but I think we would all be amiss if we didn't talk about the resurrection. It's very important in our doctrine. It's taught in the Bible, and without the resurrection, the Scriptures wouldn't be fulfilled, because Christ will one day sit upon David's throne. He didn't do that while he was here. So there has to be a resurrection, a bodily resurrection. Luke chapter 24 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for, Lord, these witnesses that, Lord, could be there and again tell us that Jesus rose from the grave. And Lord, help us to see that truth again afresh and new today. Father, I pray you teach us what you would have us to learn. And Lord, that again we would leave here, Lord, just fortified, that we'd want to tell others. Lord, we'd have the Scripture basis to tell them. In Christ's name, amen. So it says, now upon the first day of the week, and you understand as our Christian walk, that's why we come to church every Sunday morning. You know, we say, well, Easter's Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday morning should be Resurrection Sunday. It just should. We should come in and celebrate that we have the only risen Savior that's ever been in existence. If you want to convert to be a Muslim, you can go see the body of their dead prophet. If you want to do Confucius, you can do the same thing. But you can go to Israel, and you can go to the various spots they say, definitely this is the tomb, and you can go to all of them, because there's more than one, but none of them have his body in them. Didn't have it that day, hadn't had it since then. And it says, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Now, I don't have to tell you guys, this is women, right? But if it's very early in the morning, unless they was going hunting or fishing, it's a group of women. I thought about my wife during this. She could have been one of these, because she's very early in the morning. I'm talking about very early in the morning. But this is a group of women that went, and they went to prepare the body. They were taking the spices and the ointments, and these ointments did a lot of things. We always want to get in our heads that they put the perfume on the body so it didn't stink. Well, tell me what purpose that is when they roll the stone back over and nobody goes around there. Those ointments and stuff actually were a bonding agent, if you would, to the garment that was put on. It says that they went and they put, or to prepare the spices. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm sure this was quite a shock to them. They come there, again, probably very early, even before sunrise. And they show up, and there's something out of place here. And that stone is out of place. And it kind of takes them off guard. And they went ahead and entered in anyway, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, look there in verse 6, it says, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now back in that day, the word of women was not taken. They couldn't testify, they couldn't do anything like that. So they didn't take their word for it. Now, again, we're in a different society today. I mean, my goodness, y'all got the right to vote now. I mean, come on. We fought that for a long time, though. So here they come back and they say, hey, let me be a witness and tell you what we saw. Now, there's a group of them named here, which is several, and then several that aren't named. So here's a group that comes back and says, this is what we saw. And they didn't believe them. Now, again, the men's mind wasn't on the resurrection of Christ. They were trying to figure out, hey, we need to get out of town. We're going to be in trouble. You know, they've killed whom we were following. Now we're going to be in a jam. But it says that in verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes lay by themselves, and departed, wondering himself at which was come to pass. Now we see in John elaborates a little more that both Peter and John ran down there. Now understand, Peter's much older than John. John's a younger man at the time. And John outruns him. He runs in and he stoops down and John says, stooping in and seeing that he was gone, he believed. Well, that's a different kind of belief. He had already believed, but it was something that says, wow, here it is. I finally, golly, it's just what I thought it was. You know, it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I believe all the way. And then when you finally see it for yourself, you go, it kind of rocks you back and you go, wow, I believe that, but now I'm really... So these two guys, Peter and John, run down to the sepulchre. And here's two men that bear witness of this. They bear witness of it in their testimony to come as they begin to write their epistles. But you have two witnesses. John 8, verse 17 says, two witnesses is truth. In Deuteronomy, we have the law of Moses that says, where two or three is a witness, then they take that as the truth. And they utilize that when the death penalty is being issued. We talked about it last week at the trial of Christ where witnesses were called forward. They were expressly kept apart. They couldn't get together and collaborate on their story because they wanted to hear this guy's eyewitness and this guy's eyewitness. They would bring them together separately. They would hear their story, and based upon their witness was the sentencing. As whoever was sentenced headed to the cross or to be put to death, there was a herald going out in front of the procession saying who he was, what his name was, what his father's name was, what they did, and trying to get anyone to come forward and exonerate him. And they did this all down through the procession. I mean, they should have. They didn't do it with Christ, but that's what should have been done. And trying to get anybody to step forward that could say, hey, can you refute any of this that's happened? So the law says that two witnesses is the truth. And generally, it doesn't even have to be guys that get along in any other walk of life, but come together and say, hey, this is what I saw, or this is what I saw. And it collaborates together. So back up there verse 3 it says, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabouts, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, we've got Matthew and Mark says that there was an angel there. So there was this one young angel there. The two on the road to Emmaus said the story was that there was a couple of angels there. Now, Luke says that two men stood by them in shining garments. I happen to believe what Luke says. There were two men. Now, they could have been angels. They could have been an angel form. I'm not saying dogmatic, but Luke says there were two men there. What gives you the connotation of their angelical status is they were glowing. That's why they said, well, hang on, if this is a man and that's his appearance, and then there's something over here glowing, maybe it's not a man. Maybe it's an angel. That's their only explanation that they could have. But I'll give you another reference, that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and God gave him the Ten Commandments, God allowed just his train to pass by and allowed Moses to look out of the cleft of the rock. And it said that his face glowed so much that it scared the children of Israel when he went down. Just by seeing the train of God. Now, I believe these two witnesses here, these two men, we're going to see them later in the text. I believe they've been bodily in the presence of God. That's going to have a pretty glowing effect. No pun intended, but that they're going to look different. They're going to be different because, again, they've been in the presence of God. And it says these two men stood by them in shining garments. The people were afraid, but they said, hang on, don't be afraid. Why are you guys even confused? He did just what he said he was going to do. Right? So these women get down there. They find the stone rolled away. That's out of place. They go in, and what you have to know is there's this shelf here that's been honed out of the rock. And that's where the bodies are laid. So there's this shelf sitting here, and the grave clothes are just collapsed. They're no more. And it's the only explanation is that the body went through them. They didn't unwrap them. They didn't take them off. They were laying just like they were laid when he was laid in there. That's the explanation. Now, the grave clothes are there, and I told my wife I wasn't even going to bring this up because of our silly humanistic minds. God gave him a glorified robe or whatever, okay? But if you'll think back into the Garden of Eden, when he created man and woman, it says they were naked, but they weren't ashamed. There was nothing out of place there. Nothing was wrong. We look back on it and go, whoop, they were naked and they saw each other. But you know what? God said that it was a perfect place and everything was fine. Then man sinned. See, before sin, there was no problem. Then sin entered in. Jesus in his glorified body, there's no problems. You know, again, we have to get our mind out of it and look at it of saying, wow, okay, so the grave garments were just laying there, just as if he had went through them. You know, there's much to do about the shroud and the burning of the emblem of Jesus. What, I don't know, but I know he was done with those and didn't need them. And they laid there because he went right through them. He was able to go through those because here in just a little bit, he's going to walk through walls. You know, nothing. You know, the walls didn't stop him. Said they were locked in the upper room. They were scared. They had locked themselves in there, and Jesus appears in there with them. I think he could go through the grave clothes. So here's these two men that stood by them in shining garments. They're witnesses. They just tell what they saw. Hey, you guys come down here to find Jesus, didn't you? Well, let me tell you what happened. He rose from the grave. He come right up through those grave clothes and out of here he went. He didn't roll the stone back to get out. The stone was rolled back for us to look in. The stone's rolled away. They go in and they see him. These two guys say, here's what happened. Y'all remember what he told you? I mean, all they did was witness. That's all they did. So we have these two men as witnesses at his resurrection. Amen? Look in Acts. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four Gospels tells the life, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then you go right into the book of Acts, which are the actions of the apostles. This is what they begin to do after we see Christ raised from the grave. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 says, When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. Let me just put a little Kelly theology in here. Don't listen to these people that say all this stuff. They don't know. Somebody came to me last year and said, hey, there's a lady over here in Dallas, preacher. Should I stop there?
Yeah.
There's this lady pastor in Dallas that says it's going to be, what was the date last year? May 12th, something. She had studied and found it. I don't know if she did like we did in the 70s and play the music backwards, or I don't know what she did, but she found it, and here was going to be the... So what she said is Jesus doesn't know to pack his bags, but I found out. Let's do this in reverse, and I'll tell him to be ready. Jesus said, no one knows but the Father. And the Father will tell me when I'm to go back. Quit listening to them. They don't know. One thing you can usually count on is if they set a date, it ain't going to be that day. Okay? And besides, we've got the dates all messed up. Y'all understand that, right? We're on the Roman calendar. It could be some 4 years off. I mean, anyway. Quit listening to them. They don't know. Jesus tells them here, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. What a coincidence. Here's two men. Doesn't say they were glowing, but they had white apparel on. Here's two guys being witnesses again at his resurrection or ascension. Here's two witnesses again. The truth is in two witnesses. Now, I don't know if these are the same guys. My heart kind of tells me that it might be the same two guys because they were able to see His resurrection and be a witness, and they were able to see His ascension and be a witness. They saw two very miraculous events that's never happened before, but they were eyewitnesses to it. Now, it could be two different guys or four different guys, but I'm inclined to believe maybe it's the same guys. It says that two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." So they've got some kind of insight, don't they? It's what they just said. They said, he went up, but we've read the end of the book, and he's coming back down the same way. Amen. They had some kind of response to these guys, and they said, look, you don't need to be standing around here. What did he just do? He said, get busy. Go ye therefore into the uttermost parts. Get busy. You know, you don't have to stand here gazing up. Go do what he said to do. And then when you least expect it, when no mankind has put a date on it, he's going to come back down the same way. But our focus this morning is on these two men being witnesses. Now, I've been taught, again, all my life in church, man, I must have went to some kind of church because I always stand up here and go, man, they taught us this. That we send out on Tuesdays and Saturdays on visitation, we go out two by two, two men at a time. Because the apostles went out that way. And, you know, that's so if you get into a house, you know, it's two, you know, you don't want a single guy going and visit. No! Two witnesses is the truth. That's why we go out by twos. Because two witnesses are able to say what the truth is. And again, all they are is witnesses. You don't ever have to plead Jesus Christ's case. You don't ever have to do that. We're not called to be a lawyer. We're not called to stand and argue the case, which is pretty good advice. You don't want to argue the case. All you want to do is testify. You know, there was a guy blind from birth, and they said, curse this man and praise God. And he said, you know what? Whether that guy be a sinner or not, once I was blind and now I see. I don't know what y'all think about that guy, but I can see because of him. The guy just gave his testimony. He said, y'all can hear what you want to hear, but I'm telling you, my deal with me, personally, he allowed me to see. You know? All we're to be is a witness. Look in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, and there was given me, this is John speaking, there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Thank you, God. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Hallelujah. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as oft as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues of the nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and they shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of the life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Wow. I was telling my wife and son this morning, when God puts life back into them, they're going to scatter like quail. I'll tell you a story, because it always comes to mind when I hear this. We had a rodeo at Memphis, and some friends of mine went down to the local convenience store, and they got them some beverages, and they had a big double cab pickup with a camper on it, and some of the younger guys were still in the truck, and an older friend of mine, Jack Wiseman, had went into the store, got him some beverages, and he come walking out, and when he got out the door, a young man said, give me your money. He reached in his pocket and he had his money clip, and he just pushed his money out of the money clip and said, I don't have any money. And the guy said, then give me what's in the... He had some beverages in there. He said, then give me those. And he said, you ain't getting this. So a scuffle began. He didn't know it. He had some other friends with him, and another guy was with him. And unbeknownst to my friend, one of the young guys pulled out a gun and shot him. Shot him right here. And he went down, just crumpled in a pile. They scuffled a little more. One of the young men that was telling me about the story said he was in the truck, and he looks up and says something, and the guy shoots at them, and they all duck down, and the bullet goes through the truck. And they're still scuffling around trying to get something out of it. And one of the guys that was doing the robbing turns around and says, the white dude's getting up. And they scattered. Here they've shot this guy. He goes down, and then he gets up. What else can we do to him? That didn't stop him. He spent about 50 years getting off of a horse onto the head of a steer and just had, I guess, gristle over here. And they shot him over here, and it just lodged right there. He didn't even know he'd been shot. He thought they stabbed him. But I'll never forget those words, the white dude's getting up. Can you imagine? You see those people on the news over there in that part of the world. They're going to be giving each other gifts. They're going to be in celebration so much. God's going to breathe spirit back into them. Amen. The two guys are getting up. Uh-oh, now what? They're going to scatter. We're going to be able to, or we won't. There'll be witnesses of this on TV. But look back up in verse 7. It said, when they have finished their testimony, for 3.5 years, they're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to stand in the street for 3.5 years. They're going to preach, and they're going to preach. And all they're going to do is give their testimony. I believe these two witnesses are Elijah and Enoch. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die. Elijah says he got on a fiery chariot and rode it into heaven. He never died. Enoch was so close to God that it says that God just translated him. He was, and then he wasn't. These two men have never died. It can't be Moses. Moses died, but remember, Moses went to paradise. When Jesus died on the cross and come out of the grave, he was taken to heaven and given that resurrected body. You won't be able to kill one of those down here. It won't work. So I believe that it will be Elijah. Elijah was the prophet to Israel. He preached to Israel. Enoch was the prophet to the Gentiles. We had the discussion this morning. Are we going to be able to understand them? I believe Elijah is going to be speaking to where the Jews can understand him. I think the validity is, hey, he's one of us. We got to hear what he's saying. I don't know how Enoch's going to sound. We think Jesus speaks English. Yeah, he can. I'm not saying he can't. But Enoch was from Adam to Abraham, and then Elijah was from Abraham to Christ. It can't be angels, because you're not going to kill them. And by the way, you're not going to resurrect them. So here these two witnesses are, and it says after 3 days and a half. Man, I did a study this past week on numbers in the Bible. Very fascinating deal. And I really tried to put into perspective the 3.5 days. I had the 3 days down. You know, Jonah in the whale's belly, Jesus in the tomb. I mean, that just makes sense. But the half day, that threw me off. But it says that when they're finished giving their testimony, they're going to preach for 3.5 years in the tribulation period. They're going to be dead for 1 year or 1 day, representing 1 year that they preached. So 3.5 days represents all the time that they preached. You know, there was an example given that, well, if you just send someone dead down there to tell them, or someone alive down there to tell them that they'd change their ways. He was in hell and said, man, go tell my brothers if you'd just send somebody. Well, that happened. They still didn't want to hear. Man, here's going to be two guys. They're going to be just full of preaching, giving their testimony, standing in Jerusalem. I believe that through what we have today with the television and stuff, I believe that those who are here in America are going to be able to see it. You know, from Malachi to Matthew, there were what was known as the 400 silent years, where no prophets was coming forward and saying, God told me to say this, and there was, you know, all this speculation out there. But God allowed Rome during that period to take over the world and build roads. And those roads were what the gospel was put on. We have the Romans Road. There you go. I believe that time is tarried. Man, we are so instant into things now. And I've got a phone in my pocket that I can take out and show you what the weather's doing right now. You know, I mean, we're instant. It's gonna increase. I believe at those end times, man, we'll be able to look at our phone and see those two witnesses. Amen. Everyone. Now, again, I'm not. I'm gonna be gone. Any of y'all can use my phone. I'll be gone. But here's these two witnesses. God's gonna restore life into them. Then there's going to be lots of trouble. There's going to be lots of trouble after that. But they're going to be witnessing or giving their testimony. I believe they have the testimony to say, hey, we saw him resurrected from the grave. We were sitting right there. I was an eyewitness to it. Oh, and then when he ascended into the clouds, we was there too. We saw that ourselves. God allowed us to see that. And they're going to come back and tell about it. I believe it's them. I don't believe that they saw two angels. I believe they saw two men in shining garments because they've been with God. I taught this a couple of years ago, and Dr. Henderson was sitting right here, and I said, all my life I've been taught that there's one man, human body, in heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I'm reading here is there may be two more. They haven't been given their resurrected bodies yet. And I told Dr. Henderson, I said, help me here. And he said, I'm reading what you are. I don't know, but I know that they haven't been given their resurrected bodies yet. These two witnesses are unnamed here, but again, the Scripture kind of pushes you that way, that they're going to come back. God's going to put them back up on the face of the earth. Chances are they might be glowing again, at least for a while until they get down here in this mess and maybe begin to dissipate. I don't know. You know, maybe that 3.5 years, their light goes out. I don't know, metaphorically speaking. But we know that we have two witnesses. We had two witnesses that witnessed His resurrection. We had two witnesses at His ascension. And God's going to send two witnesses back. And Enoch and Elijah were two different prophets, man. One represented one thing, another. They really didn't come together on a lot of things, but they came together on one thing. And that was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for, Lord, the time that we could spend in Your Word. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word that gives us witness. But I thank You for these two witnesses, Lord, that give their testimony. Lord, allow us to give our testimony as we believe. Lord, we believe without seeing because You allow us to believe. And we thank You for that. And Father, I do pray for all these who were mentioned on the prayer list. Lord, I pray for Stan's mom and, Lord, for Jonathan and healing. Lord, for these unspokens that Lord, You know. And Lord, for these who, by faith, offered up, Lord, their prayers for others. And Lord, we know You hear our prayers, and more importantly, we know You respond. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, Lord, Your mercy, and Lord, for being the loving God You are. Lord, be with our service to follow. In Christ's name.